VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, just a few hours ago, in a strictly partisan vote, the U.S. House of Representatives passed legislation to make Washington, D.C. the 51st state. The vote was 216 to 208, every Democrat voting in favor of the legislation, every Republican voting in opposition. Nancy Pelosi was excited about the passage of the legislation, calling it a momentous day for American democracy. Under this bill, the White House, the U.S. Capitol, and the National Mall would remain as a federal district, but the heavily Democrat District of Columbia would become a new state known as Washington-Douglas Commonwealth. Republicans state that this violates the Constitution and would go against what the founders intended. President Biden's in favor of the legislation, and by the way, it now makes its way over to the United States Senate. Well, here with comment on this issue and the history behind why the founders did what they did, we welcome William Federer. Bill is a historian, a best-selling author, president of Amerisearch Incorporated. He has authored numerous books such as America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to Present, and Who is the King in America? An overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Bill, thank you for joining us.
Jim, great to be with you.
So, Bill, what does our Constitution say on this issue? I mean, the House just passed this. What is the thinking by of our founders regarding why this would not be a state, the District of Columbia?
Right. So, it was a neutral territory. You had the 13 original states, and anyone who reads the debates of the first Congresses, it's all based on representation. Who gets is it based on population? Is every state equal? That was due to states extend indefinitely all the way to the Pacific coast. Is there a western boundary? Can they bring in more land and then they get more votes? And then they can. This was the whole preoccupation when they set up the government, is they wanted a neutral territory that would never be a state, that would be where they could all go. And so actually, you know, Maryland and Virginia had to give up land. So if it was going to go anywhere, it should go back to should go back to Maryland and Virginia. They're the ones that gave up the land to create the District of Columbia.
Most people don't know that, Bill.
Yes.
I said most people don't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And so it was mostly Maryland, but Virginia did give up some too. And it was one of these situations where the same thing was faced with slavery. So you had Democrat South that had slaves. And then in the North, you had several different parties. First was the Whigs, W-H-I-G-S. It goes back to England, where you had the Parliament, and you had the Lords that would side with the King, and the Whigs that would side against the King. So they were sort of the original opposition party in England. And but that name was adopted by a party in America. You had big government, where you had Washington and Hamilton, and they wanted a strong central government so we could have a stable currency and get European investments and business going on, and we could have a navy. And then there were anti-federalists that wanted a weak central government so that we would not have a repeat of King George III controlling everyone's lives. And so that was Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry and George Mason and later James Madison. And so the big government, small government, that was the big dilemma. But we see this was a real big issue with slavery. So there was an equilibrium. There was a balance between the slave states and the free states. Slavery was on its way out. As of 1809, no more new slaves could be brought into America. The U.S. Coast Guard was put in place to make sure no ships filled full of slaves would make its way to our coast. Several did. One was the Antelope, and another was the Amistad, and those cases went to the Supreme Court, and eventually, definitely with the Amistad, the slaves were freed and so forth. But when we had the Louisiana Purchase, and it doubled the size of America, and then we had the Mexican Secession. So after the Mexican-American War, 1848, we get all the Texas, Arizona, Nevada, all that territory. So now we have territories. But the push is for these territories to now come into the Union as states. And the Southern Democrat South has a bright idea. They think that if they can rush slave owners onto these territories, then it can bring these territories into the Union as slave states. And then the pro-slavery Democrat congressmen will have the majority, and they'll be able to vote to extend slavery to the whole entire country. And so the North was trying to push back and trying to hurry up and settle these territories. And so for a while, you would have states come in twos. You'd have the Kansas come in and Nebraska come in. They came in at the same time. So you'd have a pro-slavery state and a free state. And so this happened numerous times. And but when you think of what's happening today, imagine for a moment, if Washington, D.C. would give the Republicans a permanent monopoly and control of Congress, would the Democrats vote for it? Would Biden be in favor of it? No, they wouldn't. They know that Washington, D.C. lives off the taxes of the entire country. It is totally, for lack of a better word, a parasite district. It does not contribute very much, but it does. That's why the real estate prices always go up in Washington, D.C., because the government keeps getting bigger, and they have more government salaries, they buy more property, and so forth. So it would give the Democrat Party more congressmen that were Democrat and more senators. They'd get two more Democrat senators. That alone would give the Democrats a majority, over the U.S. Senate. It's a welfare state, the District of Columbia. Mm-hmm. There's lots of poor people receiving welfare. So in other words, it would give the Democrat Party a permanent advantage. And then we can talk about how this strategy is also applied to the border. Imagine for a moment if every immigrant coming across the southern border was going to be a Republican, and it would add to the Republican voter rolls. You'd have every Democrat being against the immigrants coming in. They would be the first ones to say, we want a wall. They know that they're coming across, and they will eventually matriculate into Democrat voters. And so we have to see it all from this paradigm, from this perspective. I ran for Congress 3 times, and I've watched how they'll spend 10 years plotting how to redraw a congressional district map to cut out people from one party. They'll go up and down streets. They'll cut one house out, leave another house in. They go to extreme measures to try to give their party or the other party the majority. It's called gerrymandering. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we're seeing right now. From my point of view, the Democrat Party has one goal, and that is make sure they win every election from now on.
Yeah. And that's why we're seeing such a push for like H.R. 1 to totally give upheaval to our election laws in states across the nation. That's why we also are seeing some pushing for Puerto Rico to have statehood as well. This is why also we're seeing this push take place for Washington, D.C. Now, Bill, they're calling this, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, they're calling this a civil rights issue. Is this really a civil rights issue?
No, it's just a political ploy. And you can pretty well take whatever they say and turn it around the other side. Right. They'll pass an Affordable Care Act. It's actually unaffordable. They'll pass an act for equality, which does nothing but make Christians unequal. They'll say, they want another act for transgendered. Well, what it does is it is discriminating against people of biblical faith. They'll name a bill. They'll give a speech. But it's basically, it does exactly the opposite of what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand that perspective, that everything is for the goal of getting more votes and a permanent political majority, that then it all makes sense.
And the Constitution lays this out as well. What is it? Section 8 that appears out of Article 1 that calls for this 10-square-mile area, this district not exceeding 10 square miles. I mean, it was clearly intended by the founders that this is not going to be a separate state. It was going to be a carve-out for this purpose. And Bill, it's not that individuals who live within this 10 square miles has no representation. They still have certainly city government, and the House oversees the actions that take place there.
Yeah, they vote for all the different offices, you know, federally. They vote in presidential elections. They vote for their mayor, their city council. They're voting all the time. I love the license plate in Washington, D.C. It says, no taxation without representation. And I just have to laugh. I said, taxation? The whole entire country is taxed to pay for you. You're living off the taxes of the entire country. That's why it's like a leech a territory, because they'll always increase the taxes, and they'll have all these government employees, thousands and thousands of them, making enormous amounts of salary, and they buy these enormous, you know, pieces of property and houses,
sure.
and it just always, anybody takes a drive up to Washington, D.C. and Virginia, the roads are always packed, because everybody is getting these government jobs, and they're making money, and so it's a political thing. Again, if you were to imagine if Washington, D.C. coming in as a state was going to give the Republicans two more senators and a congressman, would the Democrats be for it?
Interesting.
No. This is just same thing with Puerto Rico. I love Puerto Rico. I've been down to Puerto Rico. It's beautiful. But most of the people make a less amount of money that would automatically put the entire nation on welfare.
Bill,
so it would be
as you look at this matter here. Did the action of the House this morning violate the Constitution?
I think it did. Certainly, the spirit of the Constitution. In my mind, you read the debates of the Congresses and when they were deciding representation. It had never crossed their mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was clear to them. One of the very first acts of Congress was to limit the western territory of Connecticut.
Mm. Wow.
Virginia. They thought Virginia was going to continue all the way across the country to the Pacific. And then Connecticut was locked in, so Connecticut bought what's called the Western Reserve.
Well.
The whole huge plot of land, because they thought, well, we'll extend Connecticut out there.
Bill Federer with us here with commentary on this. And Bill, thank you so much for helping to inform our listeners and understand more of the historical background to this matter.
Well, thank you, Jim. Change to Change is one of my books that covers some of this information.
And you'll find it at AmericanMinute.com. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
And folks, back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the animals that we see fossilized today live millions and millions of years ago?
Chris, according to evolution, they did, but I question that. First, note that most of the fossils are nearly identical to modern-day organisms. There are clams in the fossil record, and there are clams today. Maybe a little bit different, but still clams. Theologically, if the fossils died long ago, then what does that do to the biblical teaching that things were very good in the beginning? Did things die and experience pain before man, before God called things very good? No, in the beginning there was no death. It was Adam's sin which brought the wages of sin, which is death. If death existed before sin, then death is not the penalty for sin, and Christ's death paid no penalty. Chris, recent creation is absolutely essential, even to the salvation doctrine. As we go back to Genesis, we can get it right.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
We'll be right back. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, the U.S. House voted this morning to make D.C. the 51st state. That vote, just right down party lines, 216 to 208, every Democrat voting in favor, every Republican voting against it. It is such that President Biden has indicated he is in favor of the legislation, and it is now on its way to the Senate. So we're up against that issue again. Will the Senate seek to void the filibuster in order to see this pass through their 50 plus one vote? 50 votes, members of the U.S. Senate, the Democratic senators, the swing vote, of course, not the swing, but the certain vote would come from the vice president casting it with the majority. That issue is before the U.S. Senate, and you can reach your senators even today at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And again, just with some commentary in that very aspect here today, here on Crosstalk. Well, friends, there is other issues that are also going on. And matter of fact, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be having a news roundup. But there is so much that is happening on the COVID front as it relates to the COVID shot. And it's been in the news, and we want to share with you stories that you're likely not going to hear from the major media. But there are stories that are going on, and certainly issues that you need to be made aware of. The Centers for Disease Control has on their site a selected adverse effects report after COVID-19 vaccination. That's the title of it. And it says, and I'm quoting directly from the report, to date, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, that's VAERS, has not detected patterns in cause of death that would indicate a safety problem with COVID-19 vaccines. They state in this report over 200 million, and make that 211 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines were administered in the United States from December 14th, 2020 through April 19th, 2021. During the time, VAERS received 3,486 reports of deaths among people who received a COVID-19 vaccine. CDC and FDA physicians review each case report of death as soon as notified, and CDC request medical records to further access reports. A review of available clinical information, including death certificates, autopsy, and medical records, revealed no evidence, that's their words, no evidence that vaccinations contribute to patient deaths. CDC and FDA will continue to investigate reports of adverse events, including deaths, reported to VAERS. Now, again, they mentioned that there have been 3,486 reports of death reported to after the shot was administered. However, they are saying that they have studied all of these, and not one of them has indicated that there's any connection between that, their death, and the shot itself. I just want to share with you some of the stories that are coming from around the country pertaining to this various the various issues. Matter of fact, the latest VAERS data show reports of blood clotting disorders after all three emergency use authorization vaccines. This is LifeSiteNews.com that indicates data released last Friday by CDC on the number of injuries and deaths reported to their VAERS system following COVID deaths and also that of blood clots and other related blood disorders associated with all three vaccines approved for emergency use authorization. That's Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. So far, only the J&J vaccine has been paused because of blood clot concerns. Matter of fact, there have been a number of areas in which they have paused the Johnson & Johnson shot. And there are those who are indicating that the American public is losing confidence. You don't want to scare the public by pausing this and are concerned as to the adverse effect that that is going to have. Here is from the Children's Health Defense indicating doctors at the Cleveland Clinic performed a series of tests but say they don't know what caused a woman to develop paralysis following her first dose of the Pfizer vaccine. Healthy 33-year-old woman, Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, who asked to remain anonymous, experienced paralysis 12 hours after getting the first dose of Pfizer COVID vaccine and is still hospitalized. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting the number of stories that have come out on this very aspect. various reports, and we'll have several of them here for you this afternoon. Here from the Epoch Times, nearly 6,000 Americans have contracted COVID-19 despite being fully vaccinated against the virus that causes it, federal officials said on April the 15th. The Americans contracted the virus, which causes COVID-19, despite getting both doses of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine or the single shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine, they report. The CDC and Prevention told the Epoch Times via email, of the 5,814 fully vaccinated people who were confirmed as so-called breakthrough cases, nearly 400 required treatment at hospitals, 74 died. Little over 40% of the infections were in people 60 years of age and older, 65% were female. The CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, stated during a congressional hearing April 15th that the causes of the breakthrough cases are being probed. Some of these breakthroughs are, of course, failure of an immune response in the host, and then some of them are, we worry, might be related to a variant that is circulating, so we're looking at both, she said. So the jury is still out on that. WND.com reporting that a prominent physician scientist warning that the indiscriminate vaccination of people with previous or recent COVID-19 infections might have caused the blood clotting complications that resulted in the pause in the distribution of the J&J vaccine. Dr. Hooman Norchasm said in an interview Tuesday on Tucker Carlson Tonight that such complications are not isolated to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, noting cases entered in the federal database VAERS regarding the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Carlson noted that Norchasm previously had said that while he has high confidence in the vaccines, not everyone should take them. He particularly is concerned about people with high levels of antibodies from a previous COVID-19 infection. He urged the FDA and the CDC to inform the American people as to whether or not the 6 young women who had severe adverse reactions to the J&J vaccine had antibodies in their blood. WND.com also reporting a 43-year-old father, 7 children, Mississippi, left unable to speak and paralyzed on one side of his body 3 hours after being inoculated with the J&J COVID-19 shot. The man's family says he suffered a stroke caused by a blood clot in his left middle cerebral artery shortly after getting the single-dose shot. Fairly young, he was healthy, 43-year-old. He can't talk now and cannot walk. He's paralyzed on the right side. He knows who we are, the family said, and he will just cry when he sees us. At least we want him to be able to communicate, to be able to walk and talk again, even if it's not perfect. Epoch Times, April 17th, a person who was, quote, fully vaccinated against the virus causing COVID-19 died of the disease in Texas, officials announced this past Friday. Of the 15 deaths reported in Dallas County was an immunocompromised individual who had received 2 doses of the COVID-19 shot but was a solid organ transplant patient, Judge Clay Jenkins said in a statement. Fully vaccinated refers to a person who has received 2 shots of Moderna or Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines or the single shot Johnson & Johnson jab, followed by a period of at least 2 weeks. And again, they report in the story that roughly 5,800 Americans have contracted COVID despite being fully vaccinated against the virus. And that's a quote here from the Epoch Times. LifeSciNews.com, a Yale public health professor is suggesting that 60% of new COVID-19 patients have received the vaccine. This is an American professor of epidemiology, Yale University, Dr. Harvey Risch. Reveal that the majority of people now coming down with COVID-19 have been vaccinated against the virus. Again, he's a professor at the Yale School of Public Health. He stated that this should be a wake-up call to people who think the vaccine will free them up from all restrictions. This cannot happen because although they might not get symptoms, the vaccine cuts the actual transmission of the virus only by half. Risch said that clinicians have told him that over half of the new coronavirus cases have already had a vaccine. They've estimated that more than 60% of the new cases that they are now treating, COVID cases, have been people who have been vaccinated. End of quote. We understand also now from Newsmax.com, this just came out yesterday, Pharmaceutical company Pfizer said it has identified the first confirmed instance of counterfeit versions of the COVID-19 vaccine in Mexico and Poland as criminals try to exploit the worldwide vaccination campaign. Pfizer has identified counterfeit versions of COVID-19 vaccine. The company said in a statement, "We are cognizant that in this type of environment, fueled by this ease and convenience of e-commerce and also being anonymous, afforded by the internet, there will be an increase in the prevalence of fraud, counterfeit, and other illicit activity as it relates to vaccines and treatment for COVID-19," reported Fox News. Vials were tested by the company in separate investigations using microscopic tools and special light to detect the fraud after vials were seized by authorities. In both instances, the company confirmed the vials contained phony vaccines. Also, we have from coming from Epic Times, a contract plant that was producing materials for J&J virus vaccines failed to meet sanitary standards, according to federal health agencies or authorities, that is. U.S. Food and Drug Administration conducted an examination of the Emergent BioSolutions manufacturing facility after production was put on pause last Friday, according to an SEC filing. The FDA ordered Emergent BioSolutions to pause vaccine production while they worked together to address potential quality issues. The FDA cited a number of observations concerning whether the facility's processes met requirements and standards, the FDA wrote in a statement. LifeSiteNews.com also indicates that the U.S. and European health officials are scrutinizing the J&J and also the AstraZeneca COVID shots for possibly causing blood clots and related blood disorders in vaccine recipients. Evidence is mounting that the Pfizer and Moderna shots cause similar adverse reactions, and U.S. regulatory officials were alerted to that fact as far back as December of 2020. Utilizing search criteria that included reports of blood clots associated with blood coagulation disorders, Veris yielded a total of 795 reports for all three vaccines December 14th through April 1st. Of those cases, there were 400 reports attributed to Pfizer, 337 to Moderna, 56 to the J&J vaccine, far more than the eight cases under investigation. Oh, also, this is interesting from Western Journal. From the very beginning, this is, let's see, if you listen to Dr. Anthony Fauci, he's talking about that he is saying it's still not okay for vaccinated Americans to eat and drink indoors. And they had some hearings that took place. We'll see if we can get an audio clip after the break coming up here. But Dr. Fauci, at the same time, is quite frustrated over Republicans' vaccine hesitancy. It was a Sunday interview with CNN. Dr. Fauci once again addressed a vaccine hesitancy among the Republicans, according to a recent Quinnipiac poll. 43% of Republicans said they do not plan to get vaccinated. I'm looking at newamerican.com. Dr. Fauci remarked that Republicans who rail against COVID-related restrictions such as lockdowns and masks yet refuse to take a vaccine that he said would mostly offset the need for those measures are quite frustrating. We're going to take a quick break. I've got a few more stories to share. We'll also give you some opportunity to weigh in on the issues today. This is Crosstalk coming your way from VCY America.
For 2,000 years, Christians have courageously faced beatings, stonings, torture, burnings, and every form of evil for boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. The book, Fox's Voice of the Martyrs, AD 33 to today, tells their story. This all-new edition includes the stories of more than 100 Christian martyrs not included in John Fox's original work. It includes heroes from the early church to the Reformation to the 21st century. Read about Nate Saint, Watchman Nee, and dozens of stories of 67 others who have stood faithfully to the death. Their courage in the face of Islamic groups, brutal dictatorships, and government crackdowns will inspire you to be a bold witness. This hardcover, soul-stirring book available from VCY for your donation of $20 or more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, covering some of the COVID response, updates to it, information you're not hearing from your nightly news. You're normally hearing about the number of new infections that have taken place, and so far this many people have been jabbed in your particular state, and we'll share that information with you. A number of stories are coming forth, though, as to the adverse effects that have taken place. However, CDC is saying, you know, we can't find any of these deaths that are reported, over 3,000 deaths of people who have died since receiving the COVID shot, that they can't find anything that would link them to the shot itself. What they are reporting on the CDC's website. Congressman Jim Jordan last week had an exchange with Dr. Anthony Fauci for failing to provide some kind of timeline for life to resume as normal. Dr. Fauci had said Americans need to continue with COVID precautions, including mask wearing, social distancing, and large gatherings. And he was asked, what is the time? When do Americans get their freedom back? And I'd like to hear you, have you share in on listening to some of that exchange as it took place last week, Thursday.
Dr. Fauci, when is the time? When is the time? Well, in your written statement, you say now is not the time to pull back on masking, physical distancing, and avoiding congregate settings. When is the time? When do Americans get their freedom back? Can you put your microphone on, please?
Sorry. When we get the level of infection in this country low enough that it is not a really high threat.
What is low enough? Give me a number. What I mean, we had 15 days to slow the spread, turned into 1 year of lost liberty. What metrics, what measures, what has to happen before Americans get their freedoms back?
My message, Congressman Jordan, is to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as we possibly can, to get the level of infection in this country low that it is no longer a threat. That is when. And I believe when that happens, you will see.
What determines when?
I'm sorry.
What? What measure? What, I mean, are we just going to continue this forever? Or when do we get to the point? What measure, what standard, what objective outcome do we have to reach before Americans get their liberty and freedoms back?
You know, you're indicating liberty and freedom. I look at it as a public health measure to prevent people from dying and going to the hospital.
You don't think Americans' liberties have been threatened the last year, Dr. Fauci? They've been assaulted. Their liberties have.
I don't look at this as a liberty thing, Congressman Jordan.
Well, that's obvious.
As a public health thing.
But I
disagree with you on
that.
You
think the Constitution is suspended during a virus, during a pandemic? It's certainly not.
This will end for sure when we get the level of infection very low. It is now at such a high level. There's a threat again of major surges.
Dr. Fauci, over the last year, Americans' First Amendment rights have been completely attacked. Your right to go to church, your right to assemble, your right to petition your government, freedom of the press, freedom of speech have all been assaulted. I mean, for a year now.
Well, that's from the exchange that happened last Thursday as Congressman Jim Jordan tied into Dr. Fauci, saying that 15 days to slow the spread has turned into a year of lost liberty. That exchange took place there. You'll find that various places online. NewAmerican.com says all three U.S. authorized coronavirus vaccine manufacturers are working on booster shots now, development of annual revaccination programs. Pfizer CEO Alberta Bourla said people will likely need a booster dose of COVID-19 vaccine within 12 months of getting fully vaccinated, saying it's possible people need to get vaccinated against the coronavirus annually, noting it is extremely important to suppress the pool of people that can be susceptible to the virus. The comment comes after Johnson & Johnson CEO Alex Gorsky implied that people will need to get vaccinated against COVID-19 annually, just like they do against the seasonal flu. He observed that the virus mandates, the virus mutates, which can enhance the ability to fend off antibodies and cause it to have a different response to vaccines. Moderna CEO Stephen Bancel revealed that the plans of having the booster shot for the two-dose COVID by fall, I want to make sure that there are booster vaccines available in the fall so that we can protect people as we go into the next fall and winter season in the U.S., Bancel said. Dr. Fauci is as if reminding everyone who's the boss said that it's not pharmaceutical company CEOs who will decide on the necessity of COVID-19 boosters, but the federal health authorities, the CDC, and the FDA. The medical community seems to have an agreement on the idea that COVID is here to stay. We need to plan that there is something we need. We may need to maintain control over chronically. It may be something that becomes endemic, but we have to just be careful about it, Dr. Fauci said. What many people don't know is that the COVID shots are not vaccines in the traditional sense. By admission of the manufacturers themselves, both the Pfizer and Moderna products only lessen the symptoms of COVID, but don't prevent transmission. People still get COVID after receiving the jabs. That from the New American. The New York Post, coming out here yesterday, indicated that President Biden said the country has more work to do in terms of mask wearing and COVID vaccinations to safely have July 4th gatherings. President Biden Wednesday warned Americans that they may have to cancel small outdoor gatherings on the 4th of July if there's a slowdown of COVID-19 vaccinations. More than 51% of American adults have received at least one vaccine dose, according to CDC data, indicating that herd immunity and the pandemic's end are near, reports the New York Post. Epoch Times tells us that the South Dakota Governor Noem said on April 21st that she has taken executive action to ban the use of digital or paper documentation that enables people to show proof that they have been vaccinated against the virus, which causes COVID-19. She said the executive order she signed concerning so-called vaccine passports aligns with making sure South Dakotans are able to exercise their freedoms. Also, from Western Journal, as contrast as old as time, Republicans are giving up executive powers while Democrats are holding on to them for their lives. Republican Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, they report, is putting his constituents before his own office, signed an executive order Monday that amounts to an all-out ban on vaccine passports for the state of Arizona. He announced that the order Monday, explaining that it would prevent state and local governments from requiring that residents of the state provide proof of having received the vaccine. However, they're doubling down in the state of Michigan, they report as well. As in the state of Michigan, Governor Whitmer is extending the emergency mandates for 6 more months. Whitmer signed a certificate of need for extension of emergency rules on April 10th. Essentially means her administration will continue to hold its boot on the necks of Michigan residents, the story says, based on the best available scientific evidence and public health guidelines available regarding the spread of COVID-19 in the workplace. I find these emergency rules are necessary to protect employees. Now, this is the same governor who warned her state's residents not to go to the state of Florida. Do not go to spring break in Florida. And then it was found that she herself made a trip to the state of Florida. She said, though, it was to care for her parents that were there. Connecticut lawmakers voted to repeal the religious repealing the religious exemption to vaccine mandates. A full vote could be taking place on those pieces of legislation that would repeal Connecticut's religious exemptions. Now, the story here. I see they could have happened earlier this week. I do not know the results of that taking place. New American reporting. Oregon's preparing to enforce a permanent mask mandate upon the May 4th expiration of Governor Brown's temporary executive order that requires face coverings in public spaces and businesses throughout the state. The recommendation was drafted and aims to keep the rules in place until they are no longer necessary to address the effects of the pandemic in the workplace. According to the Oregon Department of Occupational Safety and Health Administration, Michael Wood, is necessary to address a technicality in state law that requires a permanent rule to keep current restrictions from expiring. So Oregon right now looking at a permanent mask mandate. Many red states like Texas, Florida, Iowa, Montana, Mississippi have already lifted all of the COVID-19 restrictions. Michigan has expanded the mask mandate to two-year-olds. And this is the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services issued a new order last Friday that will require children 2 years and up to wear face masks in gatherings. That started April 26th. That will start here in a few days until May the 25th. The order addresses the increase in cases among younger Michiganders and follows recommendations from the Academy, American Academy of Pediatrics and Center for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines, Michigan officials said. This is to ensure that children ages 2 to 4 wear a mask when participating in gatherings, namely upon upcoming summer camps and also in childcare. So you've got that. But then you also have from the Epoch Times a story that just came out yesterday requiring children to wear masks does more harm than good. This is Dr. Jay Bhattacharya told the Epoch Times he advised Governor DeSantis of Florida not to make children wear face coverings. In the case of masks, the evidence that children spread the disease even without a mask is that they're much less efficient spreaders, he added. Studies have found that young children transmit the virus less than older children and adults. Because children don't wear masks properly in many cases, the already limited benefit is lowered even further, Bhattacharya said. On the other hand, there are serious repercussions to child development when they and others around them are wearing masks. That issue going on. And then also we have from the Canada Free Press, the World Economic Forum, creators of the Great Reset, is pushing a COVID-19 mask of the future, a smart mask engineered to monitor every breath you take. Taxing every breath you take is to come next, they say. Mask of the future, dubbed the smart mask, will control all physical movements of its wearers rather than protect them from the coronavirus, and it's sure to make many mutations. They call it breath sensor technology. It's built by a conglomerate, including SirQ Technologies. It has all the bells and whistles for life in the time of the coronavirus. Bragging rights of smart mask include wearing a mask that tells you when it's time to wash. They say no more worries about whether you're, you know, fully covered, and talk about the impact of this, but a smart mask to monitor the wearer as well. Friends, I'd like to open some phone lines just to get your take on what's going on. You're already hearing through national media the various stories that are happening. You get the daily reports. You get the information there. This is another side of the story that you're hearing from news services across the nation as well that are not covered by the major media, and would like to get your reaction to these issues today. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Here today to Crosstalk, again, reading directly from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they indicate that over 211 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines were administered in the United States from December 14th, 2020 through April 19th, 2021. And during this time, VAERS received 3,486 reports of death. That's 0.0016% among people who received a COVID-19 vaccine. CDC and FDA physicians review each case report of death as soon as notified, and CDC requests medical records to further access reports. But a review of available clinical info, including death certificates, autopsy, medical records, revealed, in their words, no evidence that vaccination contributed to patient deaths. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back for the final segment here with your calls today on Crosstalk at 800-733-9829. Get your reaction to what we're facing right now as a nation. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Free speech is under assault today, and this has led CEO Mike Lindell to develop a new social media platform that is all about free speech, a platform for free speech. But does that mean he'll allow anyone to come on his social media and broadcast platform and say whatever they want? The answer is no. Why? Will he thus then be doing what he's been complaining about, suppressing free speech? No, because there is a limit to speech. You can't scream fire in a building. You can be sued if you libel or slander someone. You can't make terroristic threats. And, well, obscenity is not part of free speech. But in America, we have a real blessing. As we defend a Christian worldview, the Judeo-Christian worldview, we're also defending a constitutional republic. Because William Blackstone, the leading scholar for the Founding Fathers, said, whatever the divine is ruled on, we don't rule against. Therefore, abortion, gay marriage, and the such, the divine has ruled. Therefore, we don't promote it.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America and taking your calls here during the final segment. By the way, as reported late last week as well, border officials seized over 170,000 counterfeit masks from China. Let's begin with Deborah calling in from Boise, Idaho. Hi, Deborah. You're on the air.
Hi. Say, I didn't get to hear all of that, but I'm sure I agree with you on the vaccines. I'm not getting one, and ivermectin kills anything. It kills anything. And vitamin D, and you guys probably already covered that. But I did want to, I called the Senate voting line. I think it was 2131, the last four. And I hope I got that right. But it ended up, it's got a fax number, and I wondered if you have a double number for the Senate, and then also the...
The Senate number is 202-224-3121. You had the numbers wrong. It's 3121.
Oh, 3121. Thank you. And then also, what was the website again for Mr. Federer?
AmericanMinute.com.
Thank you so much. Thanks. You're awesome. I appreciate your call.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, again, and today, folks, we're not telling you to whether to get the vaccine, not to get the vaccine. That is your individual decision. That's something for you to certainly talk with your doctor. You're hearing one side through a lot of major media. We're sharing with you some other stories of issues that are going on. Let's go to Cha in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say, in my opinion, I feel like a lot of Americans are being blinded to what's going on with the requirement to be vaccinated. I feel like Americans are being set up. If you look at China and what they're doing, and in my personal opinion, I feel like Biden has something going on with China where they're setting us up. I'm Hmong, and we have a history with the Chinese where they committed genocide against our people, how they control everything, and I feel like this is just a small setup to get Americans to where China is today. They control, everything that you do. Wearing masks to them was a natural thing, and now it's going to become a natural thing for us too. And how they control, you can only have one child. I just feel like everything is being set up for Americans to be the same way China is.
Okay.
And
thank
I'm afraid
you.
For Americans.
Thank you, Cha. We've got Elaine next in Antigo, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, just regarding the COVID shot, I'd say, first of all, we need to stop calling it a vaccine. It is not a vaccine. It does not, you said, it does not prevent COVID. It doesn't prevent the spread of it. They stick the word vaccine on it to fool people, but it is not a vaccine. And all these effects, blood clots and paralysis and other injuries and death, are not side effects of the injection. They are the intended effects. The shot is meant to harm and kill people. So please, please, everyone, do not get the COVID injection. It is not a vaccine. It is meant to harm you. And if you care about your children, please do not allow your children to get it, because they will be harmed or die too. So,
thank you for your thoughts, Elaine. Zach is next in River Falls. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment and say, I am not the government's property. I am not the government's cow. I am the boss. And once Americans adopt or accept this kind of attitude, we will get our freedoms back. And when they say until it's safe, means never. Okay. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Zach. Richard in Findlay, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, the mask mandate. This is caused by all the homosexual men that have HIV out there. They can't take the vaccine, and they're very susceptible to the virus. So that's why we got the mask mandate.
Well, I don't know of any connection there that's the reason for it. Oh, Richard hung up here. Antoinette Nacita.
Yes, I just add to your information about the VAERS reporting. It is totally volunteer, and people, if you want to believe the CDC or not, but a Harvard study said it's 1% or less. So you just basically add two zeros. So if we're at 3486 for deaths, people add two zeros, and you determine. Just wanted to add that information.
Okay.
Totally volunteer to report this.
Thank you, Antoinette. Holly in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Per usual, Jim, there's just so much for you to report and so little time to do it. But I wanted to add, you're talking about VAERS, and we have access to that, you know, through MedAlerts and through the reporting system. But there's also another reporting system that the CDC is using called VSAFE. And we don't, as the general public, have access to that. So that's something else to take into consideration, where they're kind of utilizing that to sift through what they want to be reported to theirs and what not to be.
Okay. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you.
And we've got, Dr. Lewis in Phoenix, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. Like you said, I'm a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have been watching this for quite some time and doing my own research. And I would just ask the public to consider two things. Number one, in the rare chance that perhaps there's another side to the story than what the mainstream media is portraying, perhaps if these side effects actually are real, does the risk truly outweigh the benefit, and particularly in our younger population? And if so, shouldn't we be more judicious and cautious? And the second question is, just in the rare chance that our liberties are in the process of being taken away from us, in the rare chance that we can't reverse some of the effects that take place over the long time, shouldn't we consider maintaining our Republican stance, our Republic stance of independence of choice? Those would be my only requests that our public continues to consider and prayerfully think about.
And thank you, Dr. Lewis. And how long have you been practicing?
I've been practicing since 2001.
Okay. Thank you for your comments here today. Dennis in Boston, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes. I just want to give you a quote from Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin said, "He who chooses safety over liberty deserves neither." That's my comment.
Thank you so much. And we're going to try squeeze Donald in Lake Forest. Our final call. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I heard that exchange, a dialogue a few minutes ago between the House member and Dr. Fauci. And we do believe, you know, and I have been believing for a while, that Dr. Fauci is long overdue for retirement, and therefore he should resign from office.
Okay, thank you so much. I wish we had longer time. I know the much reaction. Thank you for your call here. We're out of time. On Crosstalk, Brent's critical issues, and I know Wisconsin just passed some legislation here to not allow employers to mandate the shot. That has just gone before the governor. It's hanging in the balance, and there are issues like this all over the state. Let's continue to keep our nation and all these decision makers in prayer. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.